David chooses punishment from the Lord. The king's answer was, "I am in a great strait, let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." The land was smitten with pestilence, which destroyed 70,000 in Israel. David lifted up his eyes, and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. The king pleaded with God in behalf of Israel, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned, and done evil indeed, but as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me, and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." The people had cherished the same sins that prompted David's action. As the Lord through Absalom's sin visited judgment upon David, so through David's error he punished the sins of Israel. The destroying angel had stood upon Mount Moriah, in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Directed by the prophet, David went to the mountain, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. The spot upon which the altar was erected, henceforth ever to be regarded as holy ground, was the place where Abraham had built the altar to offer up his son, and was afterward chosen as the site of the temple. David had reached the age of 70. The hardships and exposures of his early wanderings, his many wars, the afflictions of later years had sapped the fountain of life. Feebleness and age, with desire for seclusion, prevented a quick apprehension of what was passing in the kingdom, and again rebellion sprang up in the very shadow of the throne. The one who now aspired to the throne was Adonijah, a very goodly man in person and bearing, but unprincipled and reckless. In his youth his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" In youth subjected to little restraint, he now rebelled against the authority of God, who had appointed Solomon to the throne. Solomon was better qualified than his elder brother, yet although the choice of God had been clearly indicated, Adonijah did not fail to find sympathizers. Joab, heretofore loyal to the throne, now joined the conspiracy against Solomon, as did Abiathar the priest. The rebellion was ripe. The conspirators had assembled at a great feast to proclaim Adonijah king, when their plans were thwarted by the prompt action of Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Bathsheba the mother of Solomon. They represented the state of affairs to the king, reminding him of the divine direction that Solomon should succeed to the throne. David at once abdicated in favor of Solomon, who was immediately anointed and proclaimed king. The conspiracy was crushed. Abiathar's life was spared, out of respect to his office and former fidelity to David, but he was degraded from the office of high priest, which passed to the line of Zadok. Joab and Adonijah were spared for the time, but after the death of David they suffered the penalty of their crime. The execution of the sentence upon the son of David completed the fourfold judgment that testified to God's abhorrence of the father's sin.